There it is.
It's like the other night. Okay, well, go ahead.
So, three letters from Marines, all right? One of them I call the ultimate Marine letter.
Wow.
He said, hey, hi there, you rump ranger. He said, my men were not pleased at all. And, you know, where was your dad during the Vietnam War? On his knees somewhere. Something like that. It was really... I mean, every line was a winner.
Put down.
Yeah, but every line would crack me up. No. This is some gay soldiers getting together just saying he went to the ultimate Marine letter. I've kept that. Someday it's going to become a cult classic thing. You know.
I bet.
I'm going to jump ahead a few years. Right.
Okay.
I love computers. The internet started happening, going public. Oh, I can't afford it. Then it finally became a film for me and the blessing. Well, that's great. About a year had passed, I was in the internet and said, wait a minute, I can afford a scanner now. And see, every so often, when I tell someone about my adventure with the Marines, the Somalian affair or whatever, packet, they would love to have a copy of a package. So I had a few copies left, and I made a few more. It cost about $5 after photocopying the color.
Yeah,
duplicated. And they loved it. And then I realized with the scanner, I could scan everything in that packet, my gift to the world, and in memory of Randolph. So it's on a web page with Somalia there with my complete packet and some letters from the Marines, and I'm still going to write some follow-up on that.
I want to hear the rest of that letter, if you can remember it.
I really couldn't duplicate it well, but all the letters the Marines kept...
I have them all
in a little basket, wicker basket with fake flowers, and I have all the letters from the Marines in there. Like, one of them... from another guy named Jared, and he said it was awful, you know, you upset everybody and blah, blah, blah. But then I said...
What exactly upset them? Because you were gay and you fucking...
Yes, I had the
you
nerve.
You intruded upon their hetero medium or something?
I had the nerve.
It doesn't threaten me.
I know. I had the nerve.
I think it's compassionate. How's that?
Well, I love you already. You don't need to prove anything to me.
Okay.
Continue being yourself, please.
That's all the way okay, I know how to be.
Please. You are like the brother I've never had. You're a very great person. My brother never talked to me. I was raised a stranger.
I hate that. You know, but you know, I got to tell you in response.
We all have
crossed eyes there.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, but you handle it very well, the angst. Probably better than I do my own situation.
I've been through some of the shit.
Well, you said the cross-eyed bear, the Sunday school thing. Mm-hmm. Little girl comes back from school, comes in the back kitchen, and mom says, what did you learn on Sunday school today? She's all about the cross-eyed bear.
Uh-huh.
A cross-eyed bear.
The cross-eyed bear.
And, yeah, his name was Gladly the Cross.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Church joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, this other guy, what I did, in Randolph's spirit, I saluted him and addressed him and said, this is great.
And there's closure to that, isn't there? In a sense, maybe that's sideline. Maybe that's not exactly congruent.
See, the energy of Randolph and I together is so intensely magical. We are one now. I mean, I'm still growing and learning my relationship with him, even though it's not apparent.
It's kind of like me and Biebs.
Okay. Now, and it upset them that I was unashamed, unabashedly gay person, as well as supporting them.
Yeah, ironically, they took the message, what?
Oh, now,
was a come on or something?
Hey, that was part of it, too.
No, okay. Did you say that to them?
Hey, I go for the gusto.
Did you tell them that? Did you write that to that effect?
Not in the first letter, but in the other letters.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's nards from hell, isn't it?
Well, I'm just being honest, having fun with them. Anyway, this one guy wrote to me. I remember his name. Exactly. So here, I found out. I thought maybe a few of my packets. It wasn't until a year later, one of the Marines came out and visited me in San Francisco to shake my hand and thank me for what I did.
Wow.
It was gay, right? And he told me more of what happened.
Did any heterosexual response to that?
Yes.
Honestly?
Yes. Besides the Rump Ranger one, it's a classic. It's you crack up.
I know. I want to. Next time you go dig that stuff, bitch. I want to see that. If you made photocopies, I can put that on Duncan's table.
It's on my webpage too. I tell you what, I've been meaning to put together a little underground booklet and sell it in both from a gay perspective as a gay radical and liberal who loves books and other stuff.
How you doing?
It's great. Thank you.
Absolutely goofy.
So, you know, when those letters came. to me the first letters, you know
what I
did? I just held them close to me and walked for like 2 hours around the city. I was so happy. So happy. I didn't care how much, I didn't care if they were letters.
Kind of a bliss thing.
I didn't care if they were letters of hate, yes.
Yeah, just the response, yes. Period, huh?
You see, the magical experience of the prophetic sign of his death, and then the spirit came to me.
Yeah.
And then
the
sitting down in the newspaper and all these things come in. You see, I claim...
Is that where your God comes in?
Yeah, angels visit me, and they give me directions. They tell me what I'm going to do now. I know everything. I know my whole life is laid out. They tell me.
So you can understand my position on the deification of phenomenon.
Yes, of course. Over phenomenizing a deity. Like, I wrote a story
that's a commutative thing.
Because angels come to me on quite a regular basis and give me ideas to write about. They tell me all the stories I'm going to write. I've only written about one.
Does it sound mundane to say that, in a certain sense, that you're an angel to me?
No, not at all. I realize
that if there's such a thing as a higher power, I call it ABs. I have to fuck up every damn step. They call it the higher power. I say, how about this greater entity? No.
Right. My trials and tribulations with Randolph has evolved me very rapidly on a spiritual level, where I have these keys and abilities, yes.
But did you see that there's a certain free will aspect to this? Like,
yes.
You get the Catholicism aspect of it.
Oh, yes.
That these, in and of themselves, can be ideations/construences of your own consciousness that need some form of moniker, nomenclature.
That is one level to interpret it, of course.
And not to negate the possibility, but I give a God entity a greater presence of mindlessness,
growing and evolving with us.
Than to devolve it and limit it, bracket it, if you will, with an emotive quality.
Well, we could put it this way. When you reached out to me like that, it was you were recognizing the angelic in each other.
Yeah. That can be... the word mundane is not the right word.
My love for Randolph brought to me a general understanding, compassion for people who've been to war, for men, you know, to be here for people who no one else can understand, be here for kind word, for conviviality,
comradeship. And I believe that.
Or whatever.
It's not a vehicle or medium or means to an end for you. I hopefully feel that it's an end in itself, in of its own.
Yeah, it's part of my fulfillment.
In your dynamic. To your fulfillment.
Yeah, and I work and act on that, and I'm not ashamed about it. I acknowledge some of its ego.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
That. However,
that's not born of central casting.
So the only way I can do this is I am also acknowledging that same spirit in the other person.
Yeah, reaffirming that once again. Using
right.
That word a lot,
the healer is always being healed in the process.
Hopefully, once again.
Inevitably.
Sometimes there's a drain, compassion fatigue.
Oh, yes, but it is born of.
Remember the Peter Principle?
Yes.
Very well, huh? The level
of
confidence thing and all that. What a dynamic missive. And I find that in order to procrastinate on my own problems, I feel that I go out there and play my Mother Teresa gig in order to keep me from dealing with my own shit, because it seems to be far more complex for me to handle my own problems than to sit at CIL, for instance, and people come in and off the street.
All right, if you have been through these tragedies, as Randolph has, wartime type of tragedies,
and
probably the healthiest way to deal with it is not to always focus on it, is to distract yourself, and don't feel guilty about that. You're not avoiding responsibility. What you are doing is
nice to hear that interest, not feel guilty.
You
have to remember that.
You have to temper that with certain levels of diversion. That is not avoidance, trivially, but that is a healing process. You are doing the right thing. You feel guilty about, no. That little voice that says you must always focus on these horrible memories, it's not necessarily a good voice.
It's not be obsessive compulsive.
Right.
All these fucking labels we use,
right.
You know.
You are healing other people as when you are diverting yourself.
How's that?
When you are diverting yourself, you are bringing joy to other people. You're listening to music, you're reaching out to other people. That is also healing yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It does come around.
You haven't realized that what you're doing, what you were doing, is not so much the diversion you were doing is not wrong or avoidance, an act of avoidance. You were laying too much of a guilt trip on yourself, thinking in this diversion you're not being responsible to your own problems.
Where is there a cutoff point? Here's an important question for the general public.